Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Kingdoms Queens podcast. We are officially heading into week 7. It feels like it's already been like 10 weeks since the Chiefs played, but
it's crazy.
Isn't that weird? It's like we play on Thursday night and it feels like it's been an eternity.
It does.
I already miss Chiefs football, but
me too.
We'll be back soon. Another crazy week in the NFL, per usual, but we are here to recap it with you all. So I am your host, Lexi.
I'm Chrissy.
And Jody is not going to be with us tonight due to some life stuff that's come up. So it's going to be Chrissy and I for tonight, but thank you guys for joining us. We appreciate it. So I guess we just want to dive on into around the league. There's been a lot of crazy stuff happening.
Yeah. The NFL is weird. I mean, I feel like we see this every season, but
every week of every season.
It's just super weird right now, like the matchups that are going on that are becoming so close. And then there's just, sorry, my cat's over here blacking my notes. Thank you, Callie. But yeah, it's just been a weird season. Do we want to start off talking about the 49ers losing to the Browns?
Yeah, not even just the Browns, but PJ Walker, their third string quarterback.
Man, and I will say, had Christian McCaffrey not gotten injured, game probably could have turned out differently. However, it seems like only certain teams are allowed to use injuries as an excuse.
Yes.
For having big players go out. Nudge. But the thing about this game, that game is, I mean, San Francisco kicker missed 2 field goals, including the one with 5 seconds left that would have won the game. Like, it's just – and both teams put up almost 100 yards in penalties. And I don't know. The quarterbacks – Brock Purdy had a rough game. PJ Walker, I didn't expect to have, like, a stellar game. You know, he's the backup. But, you know, he had an – they were both subpar games. But, man, that San Francisco kicker just
– he – yeah. Well, my fantasy team does not thank him.
Yeah, yeah.
I took him in like 2 different leagues this week, and I was like, really? You're going to miss like every field goal? Like, okay. I don't know. I mean, the Browns' defense is really, really good.
And they look good.
Like, I think they've allowed like the least amount of points that a team has allowed since like the 1970s or something within 6 weeks. One of those like crazy kind of stats, but... yeah, their defense is really good. So if the Browns offense can continue to figure it out, they might be a contender. They might be in the playoffs this season, which I don't want to say because we all know we don't love their quarterback. But he's out right now. So we're dealing with PJ Walker at the moment, and he performed and he did well. So I think both teams had some players go down. Christian McCaffrey, not ideal. Debo Samuel.
Typical,
not.
Though.
Right. I know.
He's hurt every single season. Every season.
But that is like the big part of their offense. And
yeah.
So, and I think, you know, Christian McCaffrey was like widely considered MVP runner for these first few weeks. But for good reason, but they do use him like he is like the star of their offense.
Yeah.
And that is why they've had so much success, is because he's so good. And so it's not surprising he got injured, because they do like run him into the ground.
Yeah. It's true.
Which I get it, because he's so freaking good. And why wouldn't you? But that's what we talked about last week on our show, is like, can the 49ers keep this up? And I did not. So there's ways to beat these teams, which we're seeing. So
yeah. And I agree. Like, you know, it was nice to see, I don't know if nice is the right word, but Kareem Hunt scored a touchdown, and you know, he's kind of been in and out of the league lineups, whatever you want to say, whatever, for a while. So, you know, he looked pretty good when he was running pretty powerfully. So I think I was mostly surprised by San Francisco's defense. Like, I feel like they maybe had I still think they are one of the elite defenses in the NFL. I think they had maybe a little bit of an off week, maybe not quite understanding how to prepare for PJ Walker or something like that.
I think that's what probably happened a little bit.
Yeah. So I don't think like the San Francisco's defense, just because they got beat, like the thing is Brock Purdy, he wasn't giving their defense a lot of time off the field either. So they're probably getting tired and worn down. And I'm not saying Brock Purdy isn't going to be fine next week. I think he also had a really off game. And I think sometimes people forget that these players in the NFL, they're going to have off games sometimes. Like, we all have off days in our own personal lives and our jobs. And I think that was just like a weird off game for a lot of people. Something weird going on that week. But, you know, I think San Francisco will bounce back. And Cleveland, though, like there was a little spark there. So we'll kind of see where they go from there.
It was exciting for their fans. And
yeah,
I think there was a lot of penalties. There was just a lot of a weird fluky game. It happens. Yeah. But I think
Juan Thornhill.
We love Juan Thornhill.
We do love Juan. So good for you, Juan. Well done.
I'll see you succeed over there.
Yeah. And another big loss this week is the Eagles lost to the Jets. And we got to hear fun comments from Robert Saleh and about how he's embarrassing all these elite quarterbacks. And that's cool for him, I guess.
So I guess he did walk that back a little bit today.
Did he?
Yeah. So I actually like listened to what he said and he was like, yeah, I probably should have used different words. He's like, but our defense has been really good.
Yeah. Their defense has been fantastic.
And you know, what's funny about some of these young coaches. I feel like him and like Nick Sirianni and guys like that, like it's so funny the difference in them between like Andy Reid and like a Bill Belichick, because like Andy Reid and Bill and Mike Tomlin, like they say nothing, like they don't give you bulletin material, but nothing. These junior coaches like love to give you bulletin board material.
Yeah. It is weird. It's like, they really want to talk the talk. It's like this newfangled, like, this is what the young coaches do. Like, you look at what Deion Sanders is doing out in college football, and it's like so much talk. Like, it's like they're looking for these blurbs to just go viral, these little videos of theirs to go viral. So that's the thing about that comment that he made. And for those of you who haven't seen it, you know, he was talking about how, you know, they may have lost the game, but they've embarrassed these quarterbacks. And it's like, yeah, these, like, if you look at Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, three very high dollar quarterbacks, right? They did have rough games against the Jets defense. The Jets defense is for real. And I think we all knew that going in, at least to the Chiefs game, like, we were definitely respecting that defense. So it's just, you know, you can be proud of your defense. You can be excited about what they're doing. You can be glad that there's a spark when your team kind of, Aaron Rodgers went out, everyone thought, oh, the Jets are done.
Right.
You know, there's just ways to pump your team up without putting bulletin board material out there. And I feel like, you know, he's excited about his defense. Well, great. You look at the Chiefs defense, they're doing amazing things. But Andy Reid, like you said, it's the difference in this age, I guess. Andy Reid is never going to go out there and be like, well, we embarrassed some people out there.
No, he would literally never say that ever.
Never. So it's just, that's what, you know, I made a tweet and I'm not going to lie, I muted it because goodness, people came out of the woodworks on that one and really proved my point, which was kind of funny. But it's just like, you know, there's ways. It's like there's ways to handle the way you talk in the NFL and talk about other teams and other players. And normally when you present a bunch of bulletin board material, it doesn't really work out that well for you.
No. And
so since my shirt, I mean, great timing for it.
Yeah. Know your role and shut your mouth, Robert. Yeah. I would say their defense has looked really good. The Jets defense, they got a ton of pressure on Jalen Hurts. I know
they did.
They lost. Who was it? What lineman? I'm blanking on his name right now. Anyway, they lost one of their best linemen on the Eagles. So I get that. But then the Jets were also down some of their best D linemen. So
yeah, weren't they missing like Sauce Gardner and
they were missing Sauce. Yeah.
And there was one other guy. I'm blanking on his name, but he's another guy who's well known. But I mean, Jalen Hurts had 3 interceptions. You know, they completely lost the turnover battle. And one thing that I think, you know, we're talking about how great the Jets defense is. If you look at the tackling that is done between the Philly's defense that game and the Jets defense, like the Jets defense had like a 9 tackle, like solo tackle, an 8 solo tackle, a 6, a 5, a 3. I mean, they were all over, and Philadelphia's leading tackler had 4. So, and it was like, a pretty big drop after that. There wasn't a lot of people who got tackled. So I just, you look at the difference in those defenses and it feels like maybe there was some missed tackle opportunities and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But the thing with the Jets, if the Jets want to win games, they have got to be able to get field goals, or I mean, sorry, touchdowns. They can't just go out there and get field goals all day long. So, but you know, I'm impressed that the Jets are doing what they're doing, you know, good for them for having a spark and wanting to go out there and win and whatnot, and for taking down one of the Goliaths in the NFL this season. That's pretty impressive. So,
yeah, I think for both, like the Jets and the Browns, they were both expected to lose by pretty much everyone. So for them to both get the upset, I mean, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, a little humility goes a long way. So Jets, just remember that. I don't know. Yeah. And you know, it's like, I understand you did embarrass kind of Josh Allen, kind of Jalen Hurts with the interceptions. But Patrick Mahomes could have put 30 on you. He just chose to run out of bounds at the end to manage the clock better.
And he did have interceptions, but honestly, it looked like he just decided to float those balls after halftime. It's like, Patrick, well, you don't throw like that. What are you doing? So I blame those more on Patrick than the Jets defense, because it wasn't like, I don't want to like discredit the Jets defense, but those interceptions that Patrick threw were, I feel like they were 100% on Patrick and like his form. It wasn't like he was being pressured. It wasn't like there was anything like that. It wasn't like someone jumped in front of a route and made a great play. He just like lofted these balls and like just floated them. He doesn't normally throw passes like that very often.
Yeah.
No. So I'm blaming more Patrick for that one, but I will give the props to the Jets defense. They've been fantastic.
They have been very good.
Yeah.
Good on them. We'll see what they do.
Yeah. Then we got the Bills. Sunday night football. No, was that Monday night football? I can't remember. That's Sunday night football.
Yeah, Sunday night football. They barely squeaked out that win versus the New York Giants, who are 1-5 and have not looked good. Now we keep getting blessed with New York Giants primetime games.
I know. And no Danny Dimes right now. He's out. And
why so much New York Giants football on primetime?
It's like the Broncos. Like the Broncos guy and the Jets. Like, it's like, what's up with all these primetime games? Because they thought they were going to be better. And
But like, are we really that naive to really think they're going to be that good?
I don't think so. I mean, I was kind of surprised by the amount of, I don't know, about a favoritism that people were giving the Giants over the offseason. I was like, really? Like, I mean, yeah, they might be improved. I don't think they're going to be great, but you know, maybe I'm crazy, but you know, we'll talk about the Bills. Like, I don't think they looked good at all. They had some moments, you know. I think Stephon Diggs, we all know he's fantastic, right? Wish he was a Chief, but I mean, Josh Allen threw for only 169 yards. He had an interception. The Bills also had a fumble. It's just, I don't know. The best thing that Josh Allen did was that he avoided sacks, because the Giants got to him and he rushed him out of the pocket and then they didn't sack him. And we've seen what can happen like with people like Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, where if they can escape the pocket and you have guys rush him and then they don't take him down and they find that space and they have that extra time for someone to get open, they're going to burn you. And that's what happened. It's like, there were so many opportunities for the Giants to sack Josh Allen and they didn't. And he burned them every single time.
Yeah.
So that was very frustrating. And I think
the Giants are really struggling with that this season.
Yeah.
They're getting pressure, but they're not getting the sacks. They're not getting home on a lot of things. Had to suffer through a lot of Giants football just in these first few weeks in primetime games. So we've seen a lot of them and they're just, but I will say props to Tyrod Taylor for doing a pretty good job.
Yeah. I thought so too.
But I mean, just as good, if not better than Daniel Jones has done this season. So
yeah, they just got it. Same thing I said about the Jets. They just have to get touchdowns.
Yeah.
I had the Giants kickers, so that was great. Thanks for all those points.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to,
like, they literally got stopped. So there was this big controversy at the very end of the first half where the Giants had the ball on like the 2 or the 1 or the 2 or the 3 yard line, something like that. It was right there. And there was like no time on the clock. They had time for like basically like one play and then probably a field goal or something. Mm-hmm. Well, the coach apparently gave him an option like a run pass option. And then Tyrod decided to do the run option, and then they got stopped, and then they didn't have any timeouts, so they couldn't get back in lineup, and all that time expired. The clock
management was just abysmal.
It was so bad because they probably had a good, I think it was like 10 seconds, but if you're right there on the end zone and you can have yourself three throws at the end zone with 10 seconds, just get rid of the ball and then kick the field goal if you have to. But they didn't even get a field goal opportunity there. And they had the same type of issue, I feel like, at the end of the game, they're going down the field like they were. And I feel like their clock management was poor there too. It felt like they weren't getting back to the line of scrimmage very quickly. It seemed like their communication for the next play call wasn't there. And you know, I know we've talked about it, at least on Chiefs Twitter, about the really questionable non-pass interference call at the end of the game against Waller. But I mean, still, like, the Giants had opportunities to take that game away many, many, many times. And it shouldn't have come down to that bad non-call at the end of the game. The Giants should have won that game many times over. They just kept settling for field goals. And when you're up against a team like the Bills, you can't just settle for field goals.
And I think, yeah, that's just the clock management was just so bad this game to watch.
So like, bad.
Especially right before halftime. And
yeah,
they honestly had that game put away. I don't know. There was just a lot of bad calls during that game. And I feel like that just comes with these inexperienced teams.
Yeah.
And the different level of football that we're seeing. So,
yep.
Not a great win for the Bills, but they did pull it out. So,
but you know what? As we all say, ugly wins count the same as pretty wins.
Ugly wins. Yeah.
Which is true.
Loss for sure.
Which is true. I just feel like I will say, I feel like had the Chiefs had that game yesterday, it would be all over Twitter. And I'm just not seeing much about the Bills all over Twitter. Oh. But maybe I'm just not looking in the right spot. I don't know.
Yeah, that last call. And I hate when it has to come down to something like that.
Same.
It's a bummer. Because then it is like, okay, what are the refs going to do? But the refs were on one this weekend. Like, it was...
They were throwing penalties left
and right. I don't know if you want to talk. We can finish with the Chargers-Cowboys game last night.
Yeah.
Holy moly, the amount of flags in that game.
So many.
It was like, I couldn't even, it becomes almost unwatchable when it's like, oh, flag on this, flag on that. Holy
Like, and it's like, I do feel like they're trying to correct some things from maybe the first 5 weeks. And that's why there was, I feel like we saw a huge uptick in penalties this week and flags being thrown.
Huge.
But just like you said, sometimes you just like, you just got to let them play. I was coaching a soccer game this weekend and both teams were incredibly physical, but it's like they were both equally physical. And I appreciated that there wasn't like a foul called every 5 seconds because they were both being equally physical. It's like, just let them play at that point. If they're both doing it in the same amount, just let them play. Unless, you know, it starts getting out of hand, but it was just like,
oh, we have a Bills
here. So many.
Ref's not going
to I would like to take that. Go watch the Chiefs Raiders game from how many years ago? And the Raiders were like on the 2 yard line and they were given like 5 chances at the end zone at the end of the game. It was crazy.
It genuinely depends on who the referee crew is.
Yeah, it was, I would say that's pretty typical. They're not going to throw back-to-back PI calls, but I remember that game against the Raiders. It is like, it is ingrained in my soul. And I was like, wait, what? You're just giving them all these extra opportunities. Like, come on.
And sometimes it can be so frustrating. And this isn't honestly, this isn't even like a dig to the Bills team. Like,
yeah,
because we can honestly relate as Chiefs fans where you get after the game, it's like, oh, this was called in the Chiefs favor. That's why it ended. And that's like what we're really trying to say is that.
Yeah.
We get it. Like, because there are flags that come at opportune times, right? But there are flags throughout the entire game and you can capitalize on them. And good teams tend to capitalize on them, and that's why you end up winning.
Yeah. And good teams normally do wins, but good teams normally do enough to squeak out a win, whether it was ugly or not. I mean, yes, that call could have come down, you know, in the Giants' favor 50% of the time, let's say. Yeah. But I'd still say like the Bills did enough to squeak out a win. And us, we've talked about this at Chiefs fans, like the best teams out there, whether it's ugly and the worst game you've ever seen your team play, they're still going to find a way to go out there and win. And the Bills did that. So, I mean, you got to give them props for that. It was a very ugly game. But I'm sure the Bills will rebound from that. It's just been such a weird season because it seems like the best teams are just having these huge drops.
That's what I love about football is like, that's every year. Like, I feel like it happened last year where we're like, okay, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Mm-hmm. Why is this team doing good?
Yeah.
It was kind of like the last season, it was like the Packers. Remember, like, they had Aaron Rodgers, but they were doing so bad last season.
Yeah.
It was like, why? Like, I would like keep being like, oh no, they're going to win this next week, whatever. And then they wouldn't. And it's just like, that's just the fun of the NFL, though. And you never know who's going to be good. And by, I would say, right now to about a few weeks from now, we're about to know who the real contenders are.
Yeah.
And
they start hitting their stride. They're starting to figure out some of the things that they've had struggles with.
Yeah.
I do think the team separate for sure.
I do think the Bills are contenders.
Oh yeah.
I just think it was probably a fluky game for them. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. But hey, they pulled out the win. Gotta give them props for pulling out the win. So. But we started talking about a little bit the Chargers losing to the Cowboys, and that game, you gotta give the Chargers props because I'm not gonna lie, Micah Parsons' name was pretty absent
the entire game,
and then it's like he pulled out, you know, those Chris Jones moments where like you need a sack in that fourth quarter on that last drive, and Micah Parsons came out of nowhere and just annihilated Herbert, and you could tell he's a little shaken up and he was like, oh man. And then they brought pressure to him the very next play and he threw that interception. So it's like Chargers are always going to charger. I swear they always seem to melt down when the game is on the line.
Always.
And last night was no different.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost like becoming a curse for them where if it's like left, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's just, it's weird. I don't know. I don't think either team necessarily looked bad, but I don't think neither team necessarily looked good either. They just looked very average yesterday.
Very average.
I do think like CeeDee Lamb had a great game. You know, he didn't score any touchdowns, which, you know, makes me sad, but it's fine. But I thought CeeDee Lamb had a really good game.
He did actually. He made some great contested catches.
Yeah. He made some really good catches. Yeah. So.
Dak didn't throw any interceptions.
Good he job. Didn't. And I have him too. I think I have him in a touchdown only league. And that's the most points he's gotten me was last night. So thanks, Dak. Won a game finally. Thank you.
Finally.
It's a touchdown only league. It's so difficult because like you don't get yards, you don't get reception points, you don't get any of that. You just get, did they get a touchdown or not? Like I got a double win with 33 points, guys. It's a whole different game. It's horrible. Do you want to move on to our Chiefs or do you have any more to talk about for the Chargers?
Not really. We can dive into them later too because we play them.
We do. You're right.
Can't wait. But Justin Herbert, there's a little bit of a conversation there, I feel like. You know, I feel like he is a great talent. He's a great arm. He is a good dude. But something is just missing there. And I said this last season. Like I said it on our podcast, like, I just don't know if he is the leader to lead them to a Super Bowl. And I like Justin Herbert. I think he's a good, good quarterback, but he just doesn't have that like X factor to me, I guess.
Yeah. I know a lot of people, I was listening to sports radio all day and he's been a huge topic of conversation. Justin Herbert has.
Yeah.
But I feel like this happens every season, but everyone's always so quick to blame the coaches because he hasn't had like a fantastic coach. Yeah. It's like they're saying he got one coach fired and now he's got this guy, Brandon Staley, who's, you know, had been very questionable. We all know that.
Yeah.
But I feel like at some point, you know, you have to rise above this adversity. You have to be able to say, you know what, this is on me. Like Patrick would never blame coaches. And I'm not saying Justin Herbert is Patrick, but like we got to witness the full first game that Justin Herbert ever played in the NFL because he came in when Tyrod Taylor, right, got punctured like in the lung by the Chargers training staff. And then suddenly Justin Herbert came on the scene and we're like, holy crap, this guy is awesome. And I just expected with the amount of talent he has, and he's incredibly intelligent. I just expected that he would have done more by now. Like, I don't, they haven't even won a playoff game with him yet. Have they?
No, they lost. Remember?
They lost the 27 comeback. Like, guy, like he's too talented of a quarterback to have never won a playoff game. And I don't think you can blame solely on the coaches. I think, like you said, Lexi, I think there's something that's just missing there. I don't know if it's when the pressure mounts up, because that's when we tend to say the Chargers are going to charge her. It's like when that pressure gets too high, something happens there. Whereas I feel like when you look at like Joe Burrow, I'm going to talk about last season because I haven't paid much attention to what he's done this season. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Or like Patrick Mahomes, when that pressure gets really, really big, it's like they take it to the next level and they're like, I'm going to find a way to win this game no matter what, whether it's using their legs or something. And we just, I don't feel like we've witnessed that.
No.
That over my dead body, I'm not losing this game part from Justin Herbert. And I just don't know if he has that.
That's
a very big mentality thing. I just don't know if he has that.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I don't know if he has that next X factor to get to that next point. They did make the playoffs, but it's like when he gets in those big moments and then he just takes the sack or he like makes a weird check down and you're like, that's not going to cut it.
Right. Or an interception.
They have a lot of talent on that team.
They do.
So it's not like Keenan Allen was wide open a few times and he just completely missed him.
And Palmer, is his name Josh Palmer?
Yeah, Palmer.
Yeah, like he's a good wide receiver too. He played a lot last year when Keenan Allen went down, now that Mike Williams is out. Like, I know they were without Mike Williams, but I still say you take Josh Palmer and you take Keenan Allen, you put them with Patrick Mahomes, like, holy crap. The stuff that we are going to witness. Oh, and I feel like you just, if you've got two wide receivers of that caliber on your team, we can't be making excuses and losing games like the way they've been doing. It just, that shouldn't be happening. No. So, yeah.
I'm right with you.
Well, let's talk a little bit about our Chiefs-Broncos game, and then we'll move on to the game that's happening this week. But yeah.
But it was a good win.
Yeah, I mean, it was it was very anticlimactic. I never felt like that game was close.
No.
I know we were not converting in the red zone, which is just, come on, Chiefs. Like, but it just, that game never felt like anything was happening. Our defense was playing so lights out. I mean, guys, Russell Wilson didn't even get 100 passing yards. He had 95 yards. And two interceptions.
Unbelievable.
And
a touchdown that was basically handed to him by penalties.
Yeah, that's the reason they got it. Just penalties drove them down that field. And so it's just, oh my gosh, our defense was so lights out that game. And
defense is just so good.
Like, our offense was allowed to have a game where they didn't have to really be like, you know what, we're not. This is all in my head, and I'm fully aware that this probably not what happened.
What you're gonna say?
But to me, I look at how the Chiefs performed that day, and they almost looked bored with the game. It's like they were over it. They knew they didn't really have to show their cards, so they didn't get to do anything really super fun and crazy. And it almost just looked like they were just trying stuff out there to see what was gonna work.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we see him again in two weeks after this weekend. It's the next week, so it's like, how much do they really want to give them? I don't know. Like, I don't know if Andy Reid is the ultimate like chess master. I don't know if this is all this perception that we put on Andy Reid as being the ultimate chess master, but I don't know. I feel like I know our red zone did not look good, but we marched down that field without any trouble. That was not a problem. It's once we got to the red zone, that's where the problem started.
I do feel like we say this. I feel like we were saying this last season where Andy Reid, he just starts off and this is
very vanilla.
I guess this is our whole conspiracy theory, right? Like, he starts off vanilla and he's done it more and more and more since Mahomes has been his starter. He wasn't like this before Mahomes.
No.
But with Mahomes plus winning two Super Bowls, he can kind of be this way. Nonetheless, before this last season, but I feel like now this is just a theory, but I do feel like he does play very vanilla the first,
like, half the season,
I guess
75% of the season.
Yeah. the first 60-70%. I don't know. If even more, like you said. He just, I feel like he, and I feel like this was his game to really try some unique things. Now, I was there watching it in person with my dad, and we were both just standing there like, what in the heck are they doing? Like,
yeah.
Like on that fourth and two sneak.
The fake field goal.
It was Noah Gray and Tommy trying. And my dad and I both were like, they're going to try to fake it. Like everyone knew in the crowd. We're like, we're going to try to fake it, but this isn't going to be good. And it was so obvious the way they did it. I was like,
it's like they got into formation and then they got into their fake formation to where they were going to rush it forward.
Yeah.
And it was like, guys, you did that so slowly that even I saw you doing that. And I was like I probably could have stopped you. Like that was not impressive. No. And I'm sorry. Do you really want Tommy Townsend? No offense to Tommy. I'm not saying he's not like a strong dude. Tommy, you want him leading that charge on like a Noah Gray QB sneak, whatever we're calling that now. Like, Andy,
yeah.
I know you watch our show. Okay. We've had this conversation.
I'm watching right now.
We got to put away the Noah Gray QB sneak playbook that you just have fun drawing in whenever you're bored and looking for things to throw off your opponents. Cause I know second half of the season, we're going to be running these third and shorts like it's no problem because nobody thinks we can do it.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. I know what you're doing. I see it. But please throw that book away. It's horrible. None of it ever actually works. And it just makes us mad.
Okay. So the funny thing is it doesn't work, but we win. He can get away with the really stupid crap and still is better than your opponent.
I just don't know if he's going to do that against a good team. You know, I don't see him doing something like that against the Bills or the Bengals.
No, he
would. Or the Eagles. Like, that's the thing. He's not stupid enough to do that. But it's like,
no. But that's why he's against the Broncos, who are the 32nd ranked defense going into our game.
Right.
That's why he did that. Because he's like, I can test this defense and I'm going to run some of my stupid stuff to see if it works. And if it works, fantastic. If not, awesome.
Yeah. If it doesn't work against the 32nd ranked defense, it's not going to work.
Yeah. And he did another stupid one where he had Kadarius Toney take the snap. Oh, no.
Yeah. No, it was Kadarius
Toney. There was one where Kadarius Toney took the snap, he should have handed it off to Pacheco because
he ran it.
Had the first down.
Oh, I know.
And then Kadarius got stuffed right there in the pocket. The other one was, I think Patrick took the snap, handed it to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Clyde pitches it back to Kadarius, and then Kadarius tries to throw it into double coverage to McKinnon. I'm like, what are we doing?
I look at these situations and I'm like, Andy.
I'm like, that was so dumb. Yeah. Like, that could have been a pick from Kadarius Toney.
Right. And it's like, Andy, you are the best quarterback in the NFL. Why are you taking it out of his hands on these third and short? Why? Okay. Why are we doing this? Like, it's just, I don't know. And I know it's a divisional game. Like, you know, we've got, you know, one of our commenters here, he's saying we always do this in divisional games. And we do. You're exactly right. And divisional games are always way tougher than they should be because we know each other so well. We see each other twice a season. And it's just like, it is infuriating as a fan to watch these plays like that.
Being at the game too, we're sitting there like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, why?
Yeah. Like, I was sitting on my mom's couch and I was just like,
it's just unbelievable.
Like, what are we like? I was mad, but I was like, I didn't even have energy to be mad. I was like, this is just dumb. Like, what are we doing?
No, and that's where I feel like Andy Reid was literally like, let me just test some of these things.
Yeah.
Let's see what we can do. If we can't do it against this defense, let's not do it again.
Yeah.
So hopefully, if they try to do any of that again, hopefully they like remaster it and perfect it.
Yeah.
Or just don't.
I'm curious to see, like, I don't want to jump over the Chargers this week, but I am curious to see how we're going to face the Broncos again.
I know.
It's so close to see how different potentially it looks because.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm interested to see that sure. But I do want to give our defense its flowers for sure. I know.
And special teams, all the
flowers. Yeah. they're just, I mean, they are just so fun to watch. And this isn't just the end of the season. It was like end of, or the beginning of this season. It was the end of last season as well. Yeah. Our defense took a step up towards the end of last season, and they have just improved, which is hard to do. They are so good right now. And I know, like, if we're talking about our players of the game, if we want to jump into those, Justin Reed, for my second week in a row, is my player of the game. He was our second leading tackler. He was the leading tackler last week. He had a sack and an interception. And I want to give a honorable mention to Willie Gay Jr. He is having a season. And I'm fully aware. I'm fairly sure this is his contract year.
It is.
But, oh my gosh, he... with the addition of Drew Tranquil and Nick Bolton, our linebacker core is insane.
They're wild. And Leo Chenal.
Yeah, and Leo Chenal. It's just like Drew Tranquil was an amazing signing. Like, I think like when we signed him, we were like, oh, this is a good signing. No, this was a phenomenal signing. And I hope we can keep him for more than just this year. I hope we can, you know, extend him. But I have got to say, like, I'm really impressed with our safeties and I'm just impressed with our whole defense, our linebackers, our safeties, our corners, our D line. I feel like I wish we were getting more sacks. We did get 4 sacks last game, so that's better.
I know. And I genuinely apologize to Justin Reed for saying he was the weakest link on our defense.
Is that why he blocked you?
I think so. We're not going to talk about Justin, it, but I digress.
We love you.
I really do. And I've never said a bad thing about him. Until I said that, and that was a few weeks ago. And in that game, technically he was, and I don't, you know, I say that with love, because I could never do what you guys do. So I'm not, can't pretend I could. However, I want to give Justin Reed his flowers because my goodness, I think that was his first interception as a Chief, right?
I know this season, I couldn't tell you last season. That was a long time ago.
Either way, first interception of this season, freaking fantastic. We haven't had that many.
No.
And then for Nick Bolton to come back in right away and get an interception within like
He looked awesome.
And we said that last week. It's like he is so important to our team and it shows. And like, look at him right back in there, right back to getting the interception. Like, it's just, our defense is just phenomenal. And it's so rare in the Patrick Mahomes era to be more excited to watch them than I am the offense right now. I am more excited to watch the defense, and that's not a knock to our offense because we can touch on Travis Kelce too. I mean, he's not my player of the game. However, he had 125 yards, 8 receptions. Didn't even have a touchdown, but the magic of Travis Kelce that you get is that on the first freaking play, or no, we had a Pacheco drive before that, but his first catch of the game, he catches it, pitches it back to Noah Gray, and Noah Gray manages to get the first down because Travis sees he's not going to be able to get it because all the defenders are coming towards him. Pitches it to Noah Gray right to the left of him. Noah gets the first down, and it's just like that. He's just his football IQ is so unbelievable.
Yeah.
And just some of that one catch he made down the field, where it was just right in the bucket from Mahomes. Just
one of those
classic Mahomes to Kelce plays. I mean, he is just, you would think, okay, I was saying this to my dad the entire game, like, you would think by this point, defenses would just be like, one person needs to be on Travis Kelce at all times. Like, do not take your eye off of him. Do not separate from him. He was getting 4 and 5 yards of separation on a ton of his.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable the stuff that he's able to do, that he's not able to be covered, that no one can figure out how to stop him. He's always open. Always.
Yeah.
He's basically going to make every single catch. He will, when Mahomes is in distress, he knows, and he knows how to get open.
Yeah.
He is just our guy. Like, I love Travis. He's just so.
Yeah. And I will say, I was curious about the toss to Noah Gray from
the pitch.
That was filthy. Thank you, the pitch. I was like, crap, what's the word? But they say, like, I was listening to Mahomes, I think it was, and he was saying, like, yeah, we do that stuff in practice all the time. We practice that stuff in practice all the time. And I was like, that's good to know, because it looked very easy. And Travis really likes to do that. That, like, last year, he kind of got into this thing where he was doing that. We're like, yo, Travis, like, chill out on those. And last year
didn't work as well. This time it works.
Yeah, that one was beautifully done. And, you know, one thing you were talking about, you know, with Travis, like, why aren't they putting more people on them? I feel like in the second half of that Broncos game, they did start doing that. And it actually opened up somebody. And I believe he's your play. Well, he was either yours or Jody's player of the game. So I don't want to steal your thunder, but was he yours or Jody's, our wide receiver?
Jody's.
Okay. Well, I'll steal it.
Go for it.
Cause I love him. Rashi Rice. I feel like when they started putting more pressure on Travis and more guys on Travis, that opened up the middle for Rashi Rice. And Rashi Rice, guys, I love this guy. I've been on his hype train since training camp. I saw him in person and I was like, that is a guy. Yeah. Like, he is, God, he's going to be good. He had four catches for 72 yards. And I mean, guys, like, he is a rookie in Andy Reid's system and he got four for 72, and he is going to be utilized more and more and more. You can just tell.
That's unheard of.
He's someone that Patrick trusts. He's not dropping those first catches like he was at the beginning of the season. And when he gets that ball, he turns and he runs upfield so quickly. His yards after catch is absolutely insane. And we need somebody like that. So
we're missing too. And so I feel like he's taking that role this year.
Yeah.
It's so good. And I don't know if you saw, but right now he is on pace to actually have more yards for his rookie season than is that Jody?
Hi, Jody.
Hi, Jody. We love you. He's actually on track to have more yards this season for his rookie season than Tyreek was for his rookie season.
Yeah. And like, they're totally different wide receivers, but still,
yeah.
I mean, he really does remind me the way he runs. He is so strong when he runs. He's got these long strides. His body just looks so incredibly strong, and he's tall. He's big. So he's like a bigger wide receiver that we just don't really have. He is built kind of like a Sammy Watkins.
And he just looks super bothered too. Like,
I know, he's just like super chill out there, like, no issue.
Right, I got this. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he is handling this rookie season in an Andy Reid offense that is very difficult for people to come in and make an impact in right off the bat. And boy, do I love watching him play.
Same.
So he was Jody's player of the game. And I'm so in agreement. He's, oh God, I just love watching him. He's so fun. And he's my favorite number. So I definitely love him.
So we love him. And then I do want to say too, Justin Watson went down with an injury, which is such a bummer because he's been really good for us in the wide receiver game.
He's been very clutch when we need him. He's there.
But I do hope I hope Justin Watson's okay. And I hope we get him back soon. I do hope in return of that, we get more of Rushy and more of Justin Ross.
Yeah.
I feel like we didn't hardly see Justin Ross at all.
At all. And he was in the media quite a bit last week. So I was really expecting him to, like, have a place in that game. Did he even have a reception? Like, I don't even know if he was targeted.
So.
And you just look at the catches that we all saw him making in training camp. We saw him making in preseason. We saw him make the week before when we were playing. Did we play the Vikings the week before? He made that huge over-the-shoulder catch, and we need more of that. So I understand. I feel like he's maybe having some trouble learning the playbook, and that's why he's not out there as much. But
it has to be something.
Yeah, draw up something that you know he's familiar with and go and use it, because, guys, he's not being stopped out there. He's huge. And he's built just like MBS, but he's catching these balls, and MBS isn't getting targeted. He's just closing his Apple rings out there on his watch. So, I do want to see more Rashi Rice, which we're getting, and I want to see more Justin Ross. Let the kid play. Let him earn his stripes by getting out there and making these throw to him on first down. Yeah. Give him a chance on first down or on second down or something. Do something to get him involved in the play. In the playbook, because if you throw it to him on first down, he drops it. Okay. Second down, whatever. Same as second down, you've got a third down still, whatever. just get him involved. Like, give him some opportunities out right there. Don't just make him sit and run sprints or, you know, be in special teams or whatnot. Like, get him involved somehow. Find a way to get him involved. That's what I like.
Like, our offense is just so bizarre right now. Like, you're getting it's just so inconsistent. And I think that's why everyone in Chiefs Kingdom as fans were so frustrated. But I honestly think there's a purpose to it and there is a rhyme and reason for it. And we will see that eventually, because I think in a few weeks from now, we're going to be like, okay, this is our offense. This is who's going to be the playmakers. This is what's going to happen. But even still, our one touchdown this week, I don't think we've said his name like once all season, is Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, he has been really good. Happened.
But he got a touchdown. So like, heck yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I feel like the way they're trying to use Kadarius Toney is just really weird.
I feel like last season it was better. And then this season.
Like, what's with, like, why are we lining them up as like a running back or a quarterback? Like, what are
that's
we
all doing? We've been doing.
He's throw him the ball. He's a wide receiver. Throw it. Don't just pitch it off to him and make him run these screen plays, which he's not turning up the field on. Obviously, that's not his forte right now. Throw him the dang ball. Let him catch it.
Throw the dang ball, Jim. We had him in as quarterback on two snaps.
I know. He's not a quarterback. He may have been in the past or something. I don't know. But stop it. School,
but please.
Stop it. That was a long time ago.
But like, I could have been a quarterback in high school. Like, please.
Yeah, there are kids who are graduating high school. How long ago I've been out of high school. Did that math this weekend. That was terrifying. So like, seriously, like, stop lining. Just throw him the ball.
And like, he was a good deeper, like, slot, kind of deep outside. I don't know. He had a lot of good plays last season that were kind of like, just like quirky. Like, he would be outside running. Bless you. I disagree. This person's saying Toney isn't good. I think Toney is good. I think we're misusing him at the moment.
And yeah, which is,
properly used him last season.
Yeah.
Now we're misusing him.
Yeah, we're doing weird stuff with him this season. It makes no sense. So.
Yeah, and then I will say, I know we're trying to speed it up a little bit here, but I do think MVS has been a letdown, and I was very on board with MVS going into this season.
Yeah, paying him so much money for him to be running cardio. It's cardio, yeah. That's all he's doing is just cardio out there. Very similar to Sky Moore, but Sky Moore is not making $11 million.
Right. Poor Sky. So. I actually had a few good catches this game. I will.
He had 22 yards. He had 2 for 22. So, I mean, that's better than, you know, none for none or, you know.
One for one.
If you got double digits, it's, you know, we got it. He'll be okay.
I agree. Too many guys that are, like, trying to do the same thing.
Yeah. Like, Rashee Rice is the only one that they're utilizing in a different way besides Travis Kelce. Yeah.
That's why they're thriving.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they found
out what they're good at.
Yes. But to get to my player of the game, because I haven't even said it yet, is Harrison Butker. Harrison freaking Butker, man.
Yeah, he's back.
He is clutch. And I just want to say all the appreciation to Harrison Butker. You have all of our flowers here. People were doubting you last season because you were injured and you missed a few kicks here and there. He has not missed one kick, not one extra point, not one field goal. I know, knock on all the wood.
Knocking on all of it.
He has not missed one point this season, not one extra point, not one field goal. And he has just been unbelievably clutch. It was so windy the other night.
Oh, I know.
It was like horrible, crazy wind. And for him to make, I think is that the longest field goal of the season, like overall in the NFL? I think it was. 60 yards.
Yeah, and that thing is good. Has anybody done like the actual, like, was there an Amazon thing where they said how long that was actually good by? Because that thing had distance.
It was okay. And actually, I was in that end zone. So my dad splurged on tickets. So we had great seats, right? And we were in that end zone and we saw it come right back to us. And I mean, that thing could have gone 5-7 yards past where it even went through.
Yeah, it had distance. Like, and I'd been outside in that wind all weekend. And I know when I sat down to watch that game And I was just like, Butker is going to have a hard time today. That wind is strong and it's going to be swirling in that bowl of a stadium. Yeah. And he didn't even look bothered by it. Like, not he, at all. Oh my gosh. Like, seriously, Butker.
Nailed every single kick, 4 field goals, 12 points, 1 extra point. We ended up with 19 total points because we did have a touchdown thanks to Kadarius. But I know, like, random, but
hey, good area too.
It's just all random. Everything's freaking random on this team right now. But you know what? We're gonna take it. I'm gonna go with the wins. All these guys that want to get involved. If you want to make a play, I will hug you. I will be happy. I'm so good with it. So
yes,
it is what it is. Our offense is in a weird rhythm right now, but they'll get it figured out. So
it's a good game to go into a mini buy-in. I feel like a lot of things on offense that Patrick can kind of, Patrick and Andy and.
Yeah. It was a short week. It was a short week game plan. And, you know, we pulled off the win. It was a good win. I think the Broncos got some garbage time points.
Yeah.
But yeah, Harrison Butker.
It never felt like it was.
Too looks really good this season.
Yeah. It just never felt like it was close. Mm-hmm. I was never concerned.
Not at all.
And I kind of feel like that's how we played. I feel like our offense played like, defense has it. Like, we're good.
Yeah.
We don't need to be going crazy today. We're fine.
We're good.
That's the energy I felt from our offense. So, mm-hmm. But let's move into, let's talk about like the keys of the game that we're going to have for the Chiefs against the Chargers this week. I can tell you. Let me open my notes to my second page. I had notes today, you guys. It's been so long since I had notes, but I was at the soccer field all weekend, so I had to like recap everything today. We've got to make sure that we get pressure on Justin Herbert. I have 3 keys to the game. Pressure on Justin Herbert. Obviously, we need sticky coverage on defense, and we have to force them to run the ball. I want them thinking that their only option is to give the ball to Eckler to run the ball. Because I would rather them try to be running down the field than able to make big bombs down the field, just like we did with Minnesota. Yeah. Like, they could not get the ball down the field. They had to try to run the ball. And we all know this. This doesn't even really need to be said. We just have to get a red zone offense figured out because we were moving down the field just fine, and then we get the red zone, and, you know, it wasn't good. So I expect that to be fixed. I expect that to be at least better. But that's really what I need to see. We're a better team than the Chargers, but they always play as tough. These games are so, so stressful. And I fully anticipate another very stressful game. I'm hoping it doesn't go to overtime. Like, I swear the last year did.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, but that's really what we need to do. Defense got to keep playing like they are, and our offense has to score in the red zone. Seems pretty simple.
Hey, Jalen Watson, if you want to get another pick 6 from the end zone, I will. Feel free.
Kelsey, you want to keep scoring on the Chargers? Feel free.
You will. He's a Charger killer. Mike Dana is a Justin Herbert killer.
Oh, yeah.
Every time we play them, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping Mike Dana has a good game. He's one of my keys to this game because he always figures out a way to get to Justin Herbert.
Yes.
So I'm hoping for a big game from him. I'm actually thinking Derek Nnadi could have a good game with their run game. And if he can kind of stop that, I think that would be huge. Yeah, getting to the quarterback, like you said, taking away Keenan Allen would be very key for us. Their offense, it's looked good, but it's not been super consistent. Like, it has been and it hasn't been. It's been a weird team to watch this season.
I feel like that's been a lot of the offenses in the NFL this season, though. Like, a lot of these high-powered offenses are all kind of struggling a little bit.
Credit to the defenses and the defensive coordinators and all that.
The defensive year. Yeah.
It's definitely a defensive year so far, which is not what we're used to watching, but I don't think the Chargers have a great defense. I feel like if we can get just a few of our guys rolling on offense, that's all we need.
Yeah.
Decent at stopping the run. So I actually think we will need our receivers to be more involved in this game. So I hope we do get more of like Rashee, Justin Ross. Kelsey's obviously going to make his plays. Maybe Noah Gray can have some special.
Yeah, I feel like the four you just named are the ones we really need to be looking for. You know, Rashi Rice, Noah Gray, Justin Ross, Travis Kelce. I don't need to see a ton of force to Kadarius Toney. I don't need to see a bunch force to Sky Moore or MVS. I feel like if we're going to find out the guys who are going to be clutch for us, and so far, those four, and I know we say Justin Ross, but he's made some very clutch throws when he's been given the opportunity. But I would say especially like Noah Gray, Travis Kelce, and Rashi Rice, those are the three that have been clutch and have been trusted upon this season. Give them the ball more. Trust them to go out there and do what they have done for you this season. And they are the ones who have been consistent. They have been the ones who have been successful. Focus on them. That's who I would try to build my game plan around. I wouldn't try to spread it around to 55,000 different receivers. That was really dramatic. I apologize. But that's just what it feels like. Like not every, you're not going to go up to every team and see them trying to get it to every single person so they get a rep. It's like, guys, focus on the guys that are actually doing the job for you and you'll be more successful. I feel like we're still trying to spread it out too much. Figure that out in practice. Figure out what these guys do well in practice. Don't use these games to be like, well, we're still trying to figure out who's going to do this and this. That's what practice is for. Stop doing it in the game.
I do feel like that's like our biggest issue is we're treating these early games like as practices, which is like a very conceited thing to say as a fan.
I know. That's what it feels like, though.
It does feel like that way. So it's hard not to like say that when it does feel like that. And Andy Reid would never, ever, ever say that, right? No. Like, he would never say that. But
no, we look forward to the challenge of playing insert team.
We look forward to the challenge of playing the Los Angeles Chargers. They're a very talented team. They have a lot of great players on offense and defense. And we love Brandon Staley.
Every single week. Every week.
We look forward to the challenge of playing the Chicago Bears. They're a great team.
I would love for a press conference one day when Andy comes in for the start of the week or something where like he starts saying that and then just everyone in the media just says it at the same time. I bet everyone just get a huge kick out of that.
Totally. I would love that, actually. But yeah, I think we match up well against the Chargers. We always do. It's going to be a game. They're going to play us well. They're a division. They want to beat us. They're sick of us, just as the rest of the AFC West.
They're all sick of us. And I love it.
We love it. But I think they're a beatable offense. I do think they have a good offense, and I think it's a great test for our defense, especially with Miami coming up.
Oh, yeah.
We've faced the Lions, but that was week one. Granted, I think we did pretty good against them.
Yeah.
We only really allowed them 14 points. It was just the pick six that got us the loss. And then the Jaguars offense has been looking really good, and we stopped them. So I think this is going to be a great test for our defense at this point in the season, and I'm really excited for it.
Yep, I agree. Should be a good game. I'm just hoping it's not as stressful. Do you have a score prediction? I suck at score predictions. We've all figured this out by now.
Earlier, 25-3.
25-3. So I sent the girls a text earlier because I get these like weather notifications constantly on my phone, and it said Tropical Storm Norma is building in the Pacific. And I was like, oh, Norma's ticked, guys. She's mad at her offense and she's coming to give them some power. So, and it was like 325 or something when I sent it. So it's like the score is going to be 25-3 in favor of the Chiefs. And Hurricane Norma is going to come make our offense go crazy.
If we could hold the Chargers to 3 points,
That'd be crazy.
It would be insane. I'd be beside
myself. Very positive thinking. Nobody take that seriously. But
he's right in saying this. Only two teams are averaging 30 points per game. That is the Dolphins and the 49ers. And then the Lions are right behind them.
Are they still averaging 30 points after their performance last
week? Minus last week, but yeah, overall they are. We're a few spots lower. I think we're like
averaging. We're still a top 10 offense.
Oh, absolutely. We're like top
10. Which is crazy. That just shows you how weird the offenses are in the NFL this year. Like, we're still a top 10, and we are not even firing on half our cylinders.
The offenses are not thriving this season. And that's why, to say with, like, the Dolphins and the Niners, the Dolphins, like, I just wonder if they can keep it up. And we'll see. I cannot wait for them to go against our defense, because our defense, I think, is going to do a number on them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Great to see that. So
you guys do know that the reason defenses have had to catch up is because of our own personal Patrick Mahomes. It's so mm-hmm. great. Like Patrick is the reason to blame for all the good defenses in the NFL.
It's so true.
It's true. Y'all can say we're being biased when we say that, but it's true.
No, it's true. He won a Super Bowl with who last season?
Yeah, he changed the NFL, and now defenses they have to be that now, and they are doing that. And it's so cool to see the power shift to the defenses really just being like, you high-powered offenses, we're stopping you this year. And that includes our own. It's cool. I don't know.
Yeah.
But Patrick will figure it out. He'll screw the defenses up again at some point. It'll be fine.
He will. And that's going to be like mid-season when we need it most. So
yeah.
That's my theory on that. And, you know, there's been times with Patrick, if y'all remember, what was it, three years ago?
Yeah.
2 or 3 years ago, we played the Tennessee Titans with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce on our team, and we scored 3 points.
Is that the 27-3 game?
Yes. So there's been
times. I didn't even hear the score.
There's been times that Patrick Mahomes has not looked that fantastic, even with an elite receiver.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We didn't even talk about Omenihue coming back this week.
When I didn't even say my score prediction, my actual realistic score prediction, because I just feel like this is what it's going to be, because this is always what it is with the Chargers. I'm saying 27-24 Chiefs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I am literally right there with you, and I hate it. I hate it so much.
That's literally what it is.
It's going to be garbage time points. Like, but, you know, that would be the most points that our defense has let up this whole season. 24?
Let's say 24-20. No, I don't know.
You know what? I'm going to go 24-17. I'm going for it. Why not?
I like it.
Because our defense is going to roll. Right. It's going to be 24-10. Okay? 24-10. And it's going to be the end of the game. And the Chargers are going to score a touchdown with like 2 minutes left. And it's going to seem scary. And we're just going to be like, oh, crap. Here comes an onside kick potentially, or a big boot kick or something, and we're going to stress for about 2 more minutes, and then we'll be like, oh, we'll be good. Bengals score 24-17. Is that a Bengals score? What?
27-24 is usually how we play the Bengals too.
Oh, I know. It's horrible. Oh yeah. That's gross. I won't use that. Mm-mm. Nope. 24-17 Chiefs.
I like it. Okay. I'm saying 27-20.
That's fine.
27-20. That's what I'm
doing. That's fine. Shamari Connor, Justin Reed. We got it.
We're good.
We got it.
We got this. Chiefs will win. It's going to be annoying, probably.
It's going to be a stressful division game.
If you guys hold them to 3, like your phone predicted, then I'm all.
I would love that. Man, if that happens, Norma is in the house.
Exactly. She might be. So. and then to quickly mention, we do get Omenihue back this week, Charles Omenihue,
and potentially Frank Clark. Like, I don't know, that the way that Andy answered that presser, I was like, wait, is there a chance?
Yeah, so Frank Clark, so you're saying there's a chance. Frank Clark was released, for those who don't maybe haven't heard.
He gave money back to the Broncos so they would release him.
Release him, which is unheard of almost.
He's like, here, take your $2 million back. I want to be done.
Him even going there was a fever dream. Like, I feel like that was not real. Like, I can't even believe he went to the Broncos.
You know, and it was the day after our Super Bowl visit, like the Super Bowl White House visit.
Yeah. It
was so weird.
So I'm hoping Andy Reid did say in his presser today, he's like made it sound like yesterday. Getting my days mixed up.
They talked about it, but they haven't done anything yet. Yeah. And it's like, oh, but you've talked about it. Like,
so there's some.
What's that mean, Andy?
Like that. I'm like, oh, so.
Andrew Reed.
I think all of us on this podcast personally would love to see him back. He is a fantastic leader in our locker room. What he did with George Karloftis last season.
Yeah.
And just mentoring him in the locker room. He has been a big part of our Super Bowl runs, both, well, 3 times we went, 2 times we won. He's just been a big part of this team. And so I would love to see Frank back on this team. And his bond with Andy Reid, his bond with Chris Jones, with Mahomes, Kelce. Like, He loves this team. He loves the Chiefs. Like, he couldn't even say a nice thing when he went to the Broncos.
I know.
It's like, not a rivalry. Y'all haven't even beaten the Chiefs.
I don't even need him to, like, go out there and be playing a bunch. I just think he would be great for the locker room. It would be good for depth. And I think his leadership for these young guys like Felix or Coburn or any of our young guys, like, including George Karlaftis, who I'm sure could still use that, like, Jody, I like that idea. Maybe
waiting on a physical for Frank Clark.
Maybe. But I don't think the Chiefs need him back, but I would love to have him back. Like, he just, yeah. I don't know. Frank Clark, he is such a funny person when it comes to the Chiefs, because like when he was first here, like, we were, like, so annoyed with him. It's like, oh, it's playoff Frank. Like, he only shows up in playoffs, blah, blah, blah. He's sick all the time. And now we're just like, gosh, I love Frank Clark. Frank Clark, the shark, I smell blood in the water. We love it all. And we just love him. He was so polarizing. And then it's like he just became, like, on this pedestal. And we just loved him so much.
He did. I know. And so there was,
I would love to have him back.
There was just something about him this last season that was just so special. And so I agree. I would love to see him back. So if that happened, I think all of Chiefs Kingdom would welcome him back with open arms.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And especially our team. I know our team would love to have him back.
Yeah,
I know
Patrick was calling him. He's like, that's my brother, man. Like, I'd love to have him back.
They would love to have him back. So,
bring our brother back, please.
Sorry. You know what's crazy is we're literally 2 weeks away from the trade deadline.
I know. It's like, get moving.
So,
but if he's a free agent, though, does the trade deadline even matter? If he's just a free agent,
no, that doesn't matter. But I do.
Never.
No, and that, honestly, that doesn't matter. I just think we're gonna see some moves made in these next 2 weeks.
Oh yeah,
just around the league, like the Eagles today signed Julio Jones. Like,
oh my god, what a waste of a.
What are we doing?
Sorry. The guy had 233 yards last season, guys. Come on,
just dumb.
That's silly. Retire, Julio. Enjoy retirement, man. You're good. You did enough.
Yeah, these guys just—they don't want to stop.
Which this is like when the Chiefs signed Josh Gordon. Like, that's what this is.
That's what it's giving. It's totally giving that.
100%.
Good luck, Julio.
Yeah, I like Julio. He never scored touchdowns for me in fantasy. He got me 1,000 yards, but never touchdowns. So have fun.
Yeah. But if we want to touch on the other games for next week, the only two that are, like, really piquing my interest are Lions-Ravens.
Yeah, and that's going to be a good game.
I think that's going to be a really good game. And I was listening to Kyle Van Noy. He's on the Ravens now. He was speaking on a show today, and he was saying, he's like, I feel like this is a really good test for the Ravens team as a whole.
Yeah.
And the Lions team. Like, they're actually playing two really good teams.
Yeah.
Like, in each other. And I just feel like it's going to be a really good game. And whoever wins is going to have that up on their season of feeling really good about it.
Yeah. Ravens are 4-2. Lions are 5-1. I think we all know that the Lions have a good offense and the Ravens have a good defense. So that battle is going to be really, really fun to watch.
And actually, the Lions defense has stepped up. And then I think Lamar has been doing better. So I think, I don't know. I think it's going to be a really good game. I don't know who's going to win. I would like to say the Lions.
That's who my gut is telling me, but I feel like my gut was telling me earlier Ravens, so I don't really know. But right now I'm feeling Lions.
That's the Ravens, so it's Ravens home. And the Ravens lost their last
game. You know what, though? Away teams have been more successful this season than home teams.
That's true.
It's a weird stat this year. Away teams are winning a majority of the games over the home team. So
yeah.
At week one, game one with the Lions over the Chiefs at Arrowhead.
Don't remind
me. Do that again. But the other game that I am so excited for.
Oh yeah.
Is the Dolphins versus the Eagles. Both 5-1 Sunday night football. I don't have a rat in the race, a horse in the race, a rat in the race. That's a weird comment to say. I don't have a horse in the race. None of that. That game's going to be bonkers. And I am really excited because I feel like the game that the Eagles just had where Jalen Hurts had 3 interceptions and they weren't doing well. And that is the perfect kind of a game to come out against a Miami defense that I don't think is anything special. They've got an amazing offense, but they have to have an amazing offense. We've been through this when you have to have an amazing offense because your defense is not And that's the Dolphins right now. Mm-hmm. That matchup is going to be crazy.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
So excited for this game.
Because this might be the first like real defense. Well, maybe the second, because the Dolphins did play the Bills, right?
Didn't they lost. They lost 20-48.
They lost. Yeah. And so that was like
eight.
That was the first real defense that they've played. And now they're going up against the Eagles defense, which we all know is great. So I'm excited. I can't wait.
I'm so excited. Who do you think's going to win?
My gut right now is telling me Eagles because of the defense. But I don't know. I'm sure I'll feel different 10 minutes from now. It's a big Sunday night football game. I'm super excited for it. 5-1 teams, Sunday night football, both have been considered at the top of either the AFC and the NFC, up there in the top, I should say. And so I don't know. My gut is telling me the Eagles because they have a better defense.
And I think both have high-powered offenses. I think Dolphins has the edge on offense, but I do think Eagles has the edge on offense.
So Dolphins have the best offense in the NFL right now. But teams have shown how to shut them down or at least slow them down.
And Eagles are going to be on a mission because they lost last week.
Yeah, exactly.
To the Jets.
Yeah.
So they're going to be on kind of a mission.
Yes. So I do think the Eagles squeak this one out. I think it's going to be a really tough matchup, but it'll be interesting to see the Dolphins go up against another good defense because they did not do well when they went up against a good defense. No. So.
And I'm taking the Eagles too. I think I have a little bit of bias in that and just wanting the Eagles to win over the Dolphins.
I know. I kind of have one too.
But I do think even with a little bias, I think it actually could go either way. And we might come back to this and be like, holy crap, this was so one way. This was so not their game.
This could be like a blowout, like one of those games you never expected to be a blowout. And you're just like, what happened?
What? Yeah.
When we played the Bills that one time, like we played them, like the first time we played them in the AFC Championship, and it was just like Chiefs the entire way. And it was like, how did that even happen? Like it wasn't close or anything. This could be very similar to that. Like just not at all expecting this huge blowout game. And then you're just like, wait, what?
I'm just hoping Chiefs players, Andy Reid, everyone's watching really close because we go play the Dolphins in three weeks in Germany.
It's like week 9, isn't it?
2.5 weeks in Germany. And then so we play the Chargers this weekend, then we play the Broncos away, and then we go away to Germany and play the Dolphins. Then we have a bye week, and then we play the Eagles. So we play the Dolphins, bye, Eagles.
Yeah, and the Eagles also have a bye
for us to watch.
Well, we have a bye.
Yeah. Yeah, so Eagles and Chiefs are both off of a bye.
But yeah, like Jody is saying here, we've talked about this on the podcast. Like she says, you know, play to cover high safety. We've talked about this because that's when our offense really struggled because they're like, oh, we'll just play two high safeties and then they can't do these big bombs in the field. That's what Miami wants to do. They've got Waddle and they've got Tyreek Hill. That's what they want to do is throw that ball down the field. When you take that away, it frustrates those guys, just like it frustrated the Chiefs. I feel like Miami has based themselves on the 2020 Chiefs.
Yeah.
Like, totally. It feels like they're very similar. They don't have the defense, but they have this really high-powered offense.
Yep.
And they're a high-speed, long ball down the field offense that can burn you down the field in 5 seconds. They're all the way down the field. We know how to play that because we've seen it against us many, many, many times. So that's just what you have to do. Like, you got to take away those guys. That's how you do it.
If anyone knows how to play Tyreek Hill, it's going to be our team.
Right.
In my theory. But we can get into that in a few weeks.
In a few weeks, yeah.
But yeah, I do think this is going to be a great game. I think the Eagles will take it, but it will be a very hard-fought battle for both sides. Like Jody says, Eagles D-line versus Dolphins O-line. Eagles D-line is a freaking powerhouse.
Oh, they're amazing.
So.
Unless it's slippery outside.
Yeah. Unless the field's a little slick.
And then you'll hear about it for 6 months later.
Yes.
Fine. Oh, but Jody says Tua isn't that accurate. Guys, Tua is the most accurate quarterback in the NFL.
Come on.
What are you talking about? Come on.
Be real. No.
Total sarcasm if people can't see my face, because that was
sarcasm.
Sarcasm, 100%. So.
Yeah.
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 That's all I got for all of this, but it should
be. I want to talk about our awesome sponsor, Kin Seltzer. Woohoo! That was really high-pitched. I apologize, everybody. So Kin Seltzer, they are the first, only Black-owned seltzer in Kansas City, America, wherever. They are amazing. It's refreshing. 100% all juice. And it's, guys, like, you can mix it with other things and it's fantastic. I don't know all the locations because I don't.
On the website.
There's like 12 locations, yeah. I think, in Kansas City. Border Brewery is the one that I think we are most fond of.
Yes.
And yeah, so make sure you get some and keep on the lookout for our Twitter page for more giveaways.
I think
so
next week we'll
try those out.
Next week we'll do another giveaway for sure. So. Yeah.
So we'll keep a lookout for the Twitter page so we can give you all the deets on our next. Jody's laughing at me. This is normally Jody's spiel, and she's really good at it. And I'm doing my best. Anyway. Jody's just, she's got all the emojis. She's laughing. I obviously need me one of those right now. So
you do. This is good.
Versus my Diet Coke that I drink in my Chiefs cup. But
pineapple and peach, and it's literally just like fruit juice mixed.
That sounds wonderful.
It's so good. And my dad, who does not like seltzers, he doesn't like Truly, he doesn't care for like the seltzers. We were tailgating before the Chiefs game this past week, and I gave him a Kin and he loved it.
Ooh, that's high praise.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Just think about that whenever you need another seltzer.
Yeah.
It's not like other seltzers, okay?
It's not. That should be the tagline. We're not like other seltzers.
We're not like other seltzers. We're not like other girls.
Well, guys, it feels like it's been forever. It's been 5 whole days since the Chiefs have played football. And it's only Tuesday. And we've got like, what?
Crazy.
Wednesday, Thursday. Forever. Oh, fine. Jody wasn't laughing at me, but it's fine. let's see, it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So we're still 4 days away from football. So it'd have been like 10 days, 9 days since our last football game. It does feel like it's been forever. So let's get excited about this. Another, it's a Charger week.
We love it's
another division week. We're just, you know what? Let's just hope the Chargers are going to charger. We would love to see that, but it's going to be a tough matchup. We all know that. So make sure everybody is just, is it a home game? Is it away? Do we know?
Yeah, it's here. It's here.
That's what I thought. But
here it's Sunday 3:25 kickoff.
Yeah, that's right. So make sure you guys are super loud at Arrowhead. show out proud. We know that there's not a lot of Chargers fans except for that one lady who's apparently
whose internet
all over.
Yeah.
The one Chargers fan who
was also exposed for being like a Vikings fan today. So.
I saw that. Ooh, watch out. Can't be a fan of two teams. We learned that.
Tough times.
But seriously, maybe we'll see her at Arrowhead. Maybe we'll have a Taylor Swift and Charger fan show with all the cameras. Who knows? Yeah. But enjoy the Chiefs game this weekend, guys. I know I will. And until next time, your queens have spoken.
Bye.